from the Bible studies, all the things we've studied in these several months now, I'm going to give you tonight what I want you to remember, and I'm going to give you what I would call the essentials that everybody ought to believe. And I'd like for you to listen very, very carefully. I'm not going to do much to hold your attention. I've got a lot to say, and I want to give it to you as plainly as I can. Since we are getting to the essentials, we're going to go to the two essential verses, or passages, Psalm number 12. Psalm number 12, we started there weeks ago. We're going to end there tonight. Psalm 12, verse them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's very interesting, and I didn't study this, but I'm almost sure this is true, so don't hold me to it. But when it changes the pronoun there to a personal pronoun, which implies thou shalt keep God's people forever, the Israelites forever, or the nation Israel forever. Let's not talk about that. Talk about the words keep God's people forever, the Israelites forever, or the nation Israel forever. Let's not talk about that. Talk about the words of the Lord. It says, the words of the Lord, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, turn your Bibles to John chapter 12. The Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 47. Page 1133, if you have a scope of your Bible. John 12, 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now notice this verse. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Very interesting. What's going to judge in the last day? The word that he's spoken. Now listen to me carefully. If, in fact, we are going to be judged by the word, how could God be just and not give us the word? What kind of a God would say, it's like a teacher giving a test on what didn't cover in class. God said, my word will judge you someday. Now then, in order for him to be a just God, and that he is above everything, he certainly would have to give us that word that will someday judge us. Now I want you to close your Bibles, and we'll keep them closed tonight as I talk to you about summary of all we've learned and the basic things that I want you to believe. Our Heavenly Father, bless our study tonight, our discussion, as we sort of review, picking out the major points of these last several weeks. And bless us as we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, we come to discuss the book. We have spent these many weeks discussing the book. We come now to sort of bundle it all together, to sort of pick up all the pieces and put them in order. And I pray you help me as I speak and our people as they hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We have looked at the subject of the King James Bible. Sort of a piece here and a piece here, a little bit here, a little bit over here. Tonight I want to tie it all together as articulately as I can, and I want you to listen to me very carefully as I do. There must be a final authority for the people of God. I preached a sermon numbers of years ago entitled Logic Proves the King James Bible. And in that sermon, I used the statement, final authority. And I listed the things that I'm going to list tonight. And Brother Bill Grady wrote a book on the King James Bible and entitled it very wisely, Final Authority. There's got to be a Supreme Court, if you please. In the United States, we say, what is the final authority? Well, the final authority has become the Supreme Court, but it was never meant to be the Supreme Court. Final authority was meant to be the Constitution of the United States. But the government has gotten liberal, just like the churches have gotten liberal, and man's reasoning has taken the place of the final authority. The Constitution is being interpreted rather than obeyed and followed, and original intent has been replaced by individual appraisal and so forth. Now, final authority. Somewhere we've got to have the final authority. Where is it? Now, there are several choices. Number one is the church. The Catholics believe that the church is the final authority. If the church says it, that makes it true. That's one possibility. Possibility number two, a man could become the final authority. In the Catholic Church, if the Pope speaks ex cathedra, then he declares that that's God speaking, and he has become the final authority as far as that particular ex cathedra message is handed down. So we have the church and a man as the Catholic final authority. Number three, human experience. We can say, okay, it happened to me, so that makes it true. Human experience. That's the charismatic final authority. Charismatics talk about the word of knowledge. And God spoke to my heart. I have a message from heaven. All of that. And so their human experience oftentimes becomes the final authority. So the Catholics have the church as the final authority. And on occasion, when speaking ex cathedra, the Pope representing the church is a final authority, and then our charismatic friends oftentimes, if not most of the time, would at least practice the fact that human experience is the final authority. Then there is the fourth place that people go for the final authority, and that is human reasoning. Now that's where the liberal folks are. The Catholics have the church and the man, and that's the final authority for them. And the charismatics have human experience, and that's the final authority for them. And the liberals have human reasoning, and that's the final authority for them. It just doesn't make sense that God would be for capital punishment, they say. So, though the Bible is for capital punishment, their human reasoning supplants the Bible. And same thing is true about protecting your own home. Same thing is true about abortion. And Mr. Carter, when he was president, made this statement. I believe the Bible, but not that part that says woman's supposed to be in submission to her husband. Now, that's human reasoning. That's the liberal. All right? Now, we're trying to find out where to get the final authority. The Catholics say, all right, how about the church has the final authority? And the charismatics say, human experience. They may not say it, but they practice it. Human experience has the final authority. The liberals say, the human reasoning has the final authority. But the fundamentalist says the Bible is the final authority. The Bible, not human reasoning, not human experience, not the church, or not a man, but the Bible is the place of final authority. Now, we read a while ago, we'll not turn to it again, we read in John chapter 12, verses 47 and 48, how that one day the Bible, God's Word, is going to judge us at the last time. Consequently, the final authority would have to be the Bible, because God would not tell us they're going to be judged with the Bible and not give us the Bible. Now then, we've got to ask ourselves then, where can we find this final authority? If in fact the Bible is the final authority, where can we find it? We have over here a King James, they call, version. We have over here a Revised Standard Version. We have over here a New International Version, the NIV. We have over here the American Standard. We have the New American Standard. And we have the New A Version, the Catholic Bible. And we have the Reader's Digest Condensed Version. All of that. Now, somewhere we've got to find the words of God, because that's the final authority. Now, I'm going to make several observations tonight in laying out the summary of all that we've learned and taught about the King James Bible. Observation number one, we have no original manuscripts. Consequently, the original manuscript cannot be the final authority. If in fact That's the only place you can get word for word the words of God, and that's the only place to find authority. That God would not be a just God, because God says His word is going to judge us sometime. And if we can't get to the word that's going to judge us sometime, then God be an unjust God. Consequently, we have no original manuscript. That's observation number one. So the original manuscripts cannot be the final authority. The average Bible college, and I'm talking about the one that you like so well, the average Bible college in America tonight does not believe that we have a perfect Bible. You heard what I read from the Dr. Custer at Bob Jones University, who said we have no perfect Bible in the English language. Now that means if we have no perfect Bible, how can God perfectly judge us by His word that He has not given us? Now, so we have no original manuscript, so that cannot be the final authority. Observation number two. We know that the words of God are available somewhere. We know that. We read a while ago in the 12th Psalm. Said the words of the Lord are pure. And said, Thou wilt preserve them from this generation even forever. So God has promised to preserve His words. Is that right? All right. Then we know that they're somewhere. Are they in the NIV? Are they in the King James? Are they in the American Standard? Are they in the Revised Standard? Are they in the Good News for Modern Man? Are they in the New American Standard? Where are these words of God? We know they're somewhere. That's observation number two. Observation number three, hear me carefully now. We know that they were originally inspired. When God gave them, they were inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration, or God breathed His word, and given to holy men of old, and they put them down word for word, just like God inspired them to do so. All right? That means, as I said, number one, observation, we have no original manuscript, so that cannot be the final authority. We know they're available somewhere, and since we know they're available somewhere, because it says God would preserve them forever, His words forever, and we know they were originally inspired. Number four, we know that these inspired words have been preserved. We know that these inspired words have been preserved. I've never said that the King James Bible is inspired. I have said it has been preserved word for word since the inspiration was given to holy men of old in the original. God inspired the Bible. And I don't understand it. If God can take the Word of God that always was in heaven and give it word for word to men like David and Paul and Moses and others, very, very imperfect men, if God can give it, if He can inspire it to those men, why can't He preserve it through men from then on? So that means we know that those inspired words have been preserved. That means they always were and they always will be. I said, number one, we have no original manuscript. I said, that means that cannot be the final authority. We're trying to find now, what is the final authority? Where is it? Number two, we know that the words are available because God had said He'd preserve them for all generations. Number three, we know that they were originally inspired, God breathed, as He spake to holy men of old, and they put down the words word for word. Number four, we know that they were inspired. These inspired words have been preserved. Now get it? Original inspiration, perpetual preservation. That's what we've always believed. Now number five, hear me carefully. We know that these words have always been preserved. I'm giving you nothing new tonight. I'm just sort of bundling it up. We know that these words have always been preserved. Now, the words of God did not become preserved in 1611 when we got the King James Bible. The words of God were preserved all before that too. God not only has kept for us the Bible, God kept for those in the first century of the Bible, second century of the Bible, and there has always been the very words of God always preserved. Now that means that people were saved before 1611 just like they were saved after 1611. There was no King James Bible before 1611, But God had preserved his words before 1611, or he couldn't have preserved them after 1611. So, the words of God have always been preserved. They were originally in heaven. They were given by inspiration to holy men of old. And from the time that they were given, forever, they will have been and will be preserved. Number six, I believe that in the English language, the King James Bible is that preserved word. Our words. I believe that the King James Bible in the English language contains the very words preserved that God inspired the holy men of old. So, I believe that this is a perfect Bible. I'm willing to fight over that. I'm willing to risk my ministry over that. I've already hung my salvation on it. I'm simply saying that the honest truth is, I believe in the English language that the King James Bible is that preserved word or contains those preserved words of God. Statement number seven. I believe that all the other versions in the English language are perversions. All of them can't be of God, and no two of them can be perfect. If they disagree, then only one can be perfect. So I must believe that one is perfect because God said he'd preserve it. And if I believe that one is perfect, then all that don't agree with it are imperfect and are perversions. All right. I said, number one, we have no original manuscripts, so that cannot be the final authority. Number two, we know that the words are available because God promised to preserve them. Number three, we know they were originally inspired. Number four, we know that these words originally inspired have been preserved. Number five, we know that they have always been preserved since their inspiration, even before 1611. I would never be so foolish as to say that folks before 1611 didn't have the words of God. If they did not have the words of God before 1611, then we had no place to get the words of God in 1611. Consequently, God has always preserved his word. It says to all generation. Didn't say to this generation, to all generations. Observation number eight. I believe that God can likewise preserve his words in other languages. I have to believe that. Because everybody doesn't speak the English language. Our missionaries going around the world, they've got to get the words of God. And I believe that a God that can inspire the scriptures, the holy men of old, and preserve those words in the English language can likewise preserve those words in any language he chooses to. Number nine, I always use the words of God in soul winning. Always do. I'm never satisfied with just giving a testimony. I want to use the words of God. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. So I always use the word of God in soul winning. Now let me make it very plain. I have won souls using the entire King James Bible. I likewise have won souls using the King James New Testament. I likewise have on occasion three or four times won souls using a Catholic Bible that somebody had in their house. They would say, we're Catholic. We don't have the same Bible you do. I'd say, then give me your Bible. And I would look up in their Bible verses that I knew were exactly the same as the King James. I'd use them. Then I would also quote the King James. You see. Consequently, I have won souls with the entire King James. I have won souls with the King James New Testament. I have won souls quoting the plan from the Bible. Just quoting it. If I quote the scripture, that's the word; those are the words of God. If I quote Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:12, Romans 5:8, I am using the pure words of God and quoting them. You see, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing with the words of God. You don't have to show it to them. You can quote it to them, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And if I take the Bible and use the Bible in soul winning, I always show the verse and read it to them, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the word of God. I have likewise talked to somebody that was liberal and had an RSV. I would take that RSV and I wouldn't turn it to Isaiah 7:14 where it leaves the word virgin out. I'd turn it to some verse where every word in that verse is just like the King James. I'd show them how to be saved from that Bible, and then I would quote the King James to them. I have won souls to Christ. I won a man to Christ by pointing to a rock one time that said, "You must be born again." Those are the words of God. And that's a part of the preserved words of God. You must be born again. And I quoted those words. I read those words from a rock. We're walking down the street, and there was a rock over there, and it said, "You must be born again." And those are the pure words of God. Those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. So I stopped, and I pointed to those words and used those words and quoted. I always quote six passages in soul winning. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, Romans 5:12, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9 through 13. Always do. Now, if I use a Catholic Bible and quote those verses, I feel like I've given the Word of God to them. I'm not saying reading those verses necessarily, but I'm saying I'm quoting the pure words of God. I won a man to Christ about a month ago at O'Hare Field. I was in a men's washroom, and we were washing our hands there in the lavatory. And somebody had written 1 Corinthians 15:3 on the wall. Christ died for our sins. Well, ladies and gentlemen, those are the pure words of God. I took that restroom wall, just that part of it. I took that restroom wall, and I used those pure words of God on that restroom wall. So I'm saying, I always use the scripture in soul winning. Sometimes it may be written down in a testament, sometimes in an entire Bible. Sometimes it may be written on a restroom wall. Sometimes it may be written on a rock. Sometimes it may be written in somebody's book. But it's the pure words of God, and I always use them. Next, I believe that when a person trusts any other plan of salvation other than faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, he gets religion but does not trust the Savior. I believe, according to John 8:44, he is born into the devil as a son of the devil. Jesus said, John 8:44, to the Pharisees, "Ye are of your father the devil." So I believe a person comes to the place where he says, "I'm trusting the Pope to save me," he becomes religious, and he becomes a child of the devil. Don't misunderstand me. He can still get born again, become a child of God later. But he becomes a child of the devil because the devil wants him to get religion. The devil wants him to get inoculated or immunized against being born again. So I believe when a person comes to a place in his life where he gets confirmed as a child but not born again, he decides to join a church but not born again. He trusts the water up here, but he's not born again. He trusts the Lord's Supper table, but not born again. He trusts the priest at the confessional booth, but he's not born again. He trusts the sacraments, but he's not born again. I believe he is born again as a child of the devil, and that's why Jesus said, as so-and-so is twofold a child of hell. I believe that a person who has no religion at all is lost. But when he embraces religion, he's more lost than he was when he had no religion. But again, he has religion without Christ. Next observation. I believe the incorruptible seed is necessary for salvation.
Now that seed may be found in the King James Bible. Or that seed may be found, as I said a while ago, in a King James New Testament. Or that seed may be found in the Gospel of John. Or that perfect seed may be quoted. I won someone to Christ week before last on the airplane, and I reached in to get my testament. I'd left my testament on my desk. I didn't have it with me in the Bible, but it was in my suitcase up overhead, and didn't have it. So I just quoted it to him. I didn't open the King James Bible. I just quoted the Bible to him, and he got saved, and I'm sure he was saved. It was the incorruptible seed. That incorruptible seed may be in a tract. It may be painted on a signpost beside the highway. It may be in Norman Vincent Peale's book. Maybe he's quoted a scripture just as the Bible gives it in his book. Though the book is as rotten as it can be, the scripture is still the pure words of God. It may even be a perfect verse in a book by a liberal, if it actually is the pure words of God. You see, it is from the written word that we find out about the living word. We would not have known about Jesus were it not for the word of God. And so we get the word of God, and the written word is a picture of the living word, and it is the living word that saves. Now, you must understand me. The written word doesn't save. It's Jesus that saves. And the Holy Spirit that regenerates. But you wouldn't have known about the virgin birth without the word of God. You wouldn't have known about Jesus' incarnation without the word of God. You wouldn't have known about his dying, living a perfect life without the word of God. You wouldn't have known about his vicarious death without the word of God. Consequently, the word of God is that tool which has told us about the Savior. I believe that the big battle in the 1990s is this book. I believe with all my heart. I believe that the big battle is over whether there is one Bible or more than one. I got the idea the other day. Why don't these Bible institutes that believe that all of them are good change the name to Bibles Institute? Or what they call the American Bibles Society. Or a certain Bibles Church. Change the name from Bible Church to Bibles Church. Well, you're in a Bible church tonight. Bible. Singular. Only one. This one right here. Let me give you again what I've said. There must be a final authority. It To some is the church. To others, it's a man. To others, it's human experience. To others, it's human reasoning. To the liberal, it's human reasoning. The charismatic, it's human experience. And to the Catholic, it's the church. And on occasion, when ex-cathedra is speaking, a man. But to fundamentalists, the final authority is the Word of God. Consequently, we have to find it. Here's one book over here says, I'm the Word of God. Here's a book says, I'm the Word of God. We've got to find the one that is the Word of God and contains the words of God. Now, I made several general statements. We have no original manuscript, so that cannot be the final authority. Two, we know that the words are available because God promised He'd preserve them to all generations. Three, we know that they were originally inspired. They always were in heaven. God took the words that always were and put them on earth to holy men to give us a copy. But somebody said, Brother Hiles, the psalmist said, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's what it meant. Preserved in heaven. Well, pray tell me what good's he going to do up there. Word of God's for us. Bible says, preach the word. And says it's good for reproof, for doctrine, for instruction in righteousness' sake. So consequently, we know that they were originally inspired, and we also know that these inspired words have been preserved. These words that always were and always will be are always now preserved for us, all generations. Then we know that the words have always been preserved. Let me make that very plain. I know some preachers that have said that you got saved one way before 1611. That isn't true. How many times you heard me say this, brother? From Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to the last person who will get saved before the great white throne judgment, everybody gets saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Everybody does. Consequently, folks didn't have to wait until 1611 to get saved. They had the preserved words of God then because they were generations back there also, and God said He preserved them unto all generations. I said, number six, I believe that in the English language, the King James Bible is that preserved word, our words. Why? Every great soul-winning church ever existed was built on the King James Bible. Every great revival that the country has ever known was on the King James Bible. The King James Bible has proved itself. By its work, by what it's done, by its association, I just chose it. Now, I want to say again, I've got more respect for somebody that will choose one of the others than all of them. Somewhere in this world, there's got to be, for you and me, a book that contains the words of God. I said, I believe then, if only one is right, all the others are perversions. I believe that God can preserve His Word in other languages. I said, number nine, I always use the Word of God in soul winning. Always use it. Always use six passages. I told you a while ago, Romans 3:10, 23, 5:12, 6:23, 5:8, 10, 9 through 13. Always use them. If I can't read them, I quote them, but I always use them. I have one soul using the New Testament of the King James Bible. I have won souls using the New Testament King James. I have won souls quoting the plan of salvation without a Bible. I have won souls using a Catholic Bible and quoting the plan in addition to that. I have won souls using the RSV and quoting the plan in addition to that. And again, I quote the six passages. I won a man to Christ, I said, by pointing to a rock that said, you must be born again. I won another man to Christ in the restroom at O'Hare Field. By pointing to 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins. I said it again, I said before, I believe anybody that embraces a religion other than the religion of Jesus Christ becomes a child of the devil, but they still can be saved. So I believe an incorruptible seed is necessary for salvation. Now that seed may be in a King James Bible, but it is from the written word we find out about the living word, and the only way we have found out about Jesus was from the Word of God. That word may be in the King James Bible, it may be in the King James New Testament, it may be in the Gospel of John, it may be quoted, it may be in a gospel tract, it may be painted on a sign beside the highway, it may be in somebody's book tucked away, a perfect scripture from the perfect book tucked away. But in every case, I always quote the same verses. You say, why? I have nothing else left saved. It just may be that little verse tucked away there in Norman Vincent Peale's book's all I'll need. But I won't let saved. So I go through the whole plan every time. I never walk up to somebody and say, I got saved, and I want to tell you how to be saved. All of us are sinners. If I say all are sinners, I quote all are sinners. If I say there's none righteous, I quote there's none righteous. If I say the wages of sin is death, I quote the wages of sin is death. Or if I don't watch out, I am giving a version of the Bible myself. And that means that I believe that book right there contains the very words of God Almighty. And I risk my ministry on that, and I plan to do what I can in the remaining years that I have to fight for this book right here.
I aim to fight the NIV. I aim to fight the New American Standard, the Old American Standard, New King James, New Scofield, all of them. Anything that changes the text, I aim to fight. Because I believe that God has, in our language, preserved this book right here for the use in the propagation of His truth. Shall we stand, please?